Father God, we do thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything you've done in our midst, and we thank you for everything you're going to do. Father, we thank you right now for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of them. And we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father, we thank you that tonight as we go to minister your word, we thank you, Father, that that word will not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and lives of each and every one of us. And we thank you that help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And we thank you, Father, that we will not only hear the word for ourselves, but we'll be able to share it with others and change their life as well. And Father, we thank you for everything you're doing. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation, revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And as I go to minister your word, we thank you, Father, that we come not in our own strength and not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. We thank you they won't see me ministering today, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way. And we thank you for giving us utterance to speak the uncompromising word of the Lord with all boldness and power. And we thank you for it now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, today is Communion Sunday. And when they told me it was Communion Sunday, the first thing that I actually thought of, now, I'm going to let you in on how I come up with sermons sometimes. A lot of times I just think of what I'm thinking of, and I said, you know what? Other people probably think the same thing. So as soon as I heard it was Communion Sunday, for whatever reason, the music always plays a big part in my life, and I started singing the Ricardo Sanchez song, The Power of the Cross. Anyone like that song? I like the song. It's a good song. But I started thinking about that, you know, some people actually think that there is power in the cross, but there is no power in the cross. Do you realize that many people before Jesus and after Jesus and even with Jesus were crucified on the cross? There's no power in the cross. Now, I've seen on movies or TV shows or whatever, or sometimes, especially now, I've seen a time, you know, where a priest held up a cross and was trying to rebuke some spirit or whatever. You can't do that. There's no power in that cross. All right? And I've seen other people try to do the same thing because they've seen somebody else do it. You know, and kids sometimes probably think, well, yeah, I'll just do that if there's some kind of devil or something's bothering me. But there is no power in that cross. Now, incidentally, if you ever go to a hospital, Catholic hospital, and you see a cross, Jesus is still on the cross. I don't know if you ever noticed that. In fact, one time I actually got an idea when I was visiting someone in the hospital said, maybe I should always bring crosses with me and change them out. and see how long it would take for them to figure out that Jesus came off the cross. And, I understand because, you know, a cross could signify anyone. I understand that they're talking about Jesus, but Jesus is not on the cross anymore. It was he was on the cross. He was crucified. It was because of the cross that we have what we have. Now, the song actually literally says, about the cross. It says this, if I could ever find it in my phone. It says, the power of the cross is in the blood of Christ. Now, see, the power is not in the cross. It's in the blood of Christ. You know, and then I started thinking about other power songs. You know, there's wonder-working power in the blood. You know, that's an old song. There's power, 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 however you want to. And that's a good song, too, but technically, the power was in the blood, not in the blood now. Do you understand? It was the power because of the blood that was shed upon the cross. And so, you know, I'm not saying the blood doesn't have power or anything else, but really, is that the reason that the blood, it was powerful. I mean, it is powerful because it was powerful. Because that blood represented our freedom. That blood represented a change in our life. Now, our life doesn't change until we get a reality of that blood. You know, and a lot of times, that's another thing. Sometimes people carry around a cross, but they don't have the reality of the cross. They don't know what the cross represents for them. because because maybe they don't know Christ. People collect crosses I was in Walmart or going to Walmart. Where was it? Was it Ada, Ardmore? Can't remember. I've been to so many little towns. Or was it Wichita Falls, Jesse? Were they selling the crosses outside? It was Ardmore, Oklahoma. The 10 worst city in Oklahoma to live, by the way, according to the internet. Just read it yesterday, and they classified the worst cities to live in Oklahoma based upon crime and unemployment rate and different things like that. Number one, Seminole, Oklahoma, by the way. But number 10 is Ardmore. Now, incidentally, the number one place to live in Oklahoma, number one, was Broken Arrow. I didn't say it. It was number one. Now, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, about the middle of the list. It's because there is crime. But Edmond was way up there, and a couple other around the city were on the list. The bigger cities didn't make the list because they had higher crime, but anyway, it's just kind of interesting. Now, that has nothing to do with what I'm going to tell you. What I was going to tell you is I was going to Walmart and in Ardmore, Oklahoma, because we were racing there last weekend, and there was a guy selling crosses. He wasn't holding a cross because someone had made handmade crosses and he was selling them. I don't know if they're raising money for some kind of thing, but a lot of people buy crosses, but there's no power in that cross that they buy. Now, it might signify something for them, and there are some people who really, aren't really practicing Christians, if you want to say that word, and there really is no power in that cross. But I'm going to tell you one thing that we do have power in, and we have power in the name of Jesus. That's where the real power that lies. Now, we can thank God for the power that is in the blood, and the power, but it's the name of Jesus that has been given to us to proclaim. And the power is in the name. Now, if you go to your Bibles over into Philippians chapter 2, and starting with verse 9, okay. It says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now, the name of Jesus is above every name. All right. Now, a number of years ago, I had a message called The Greater Mentality. And in that message, I set forth a math equation that shows it all. I put Jesus on one side, and I put the greater than symbol. The greater than symbol, remember that? Not the greater than or equal to symbol, but the greater than symbol. And this is kind of showing how the name is above every name, because anything else on the other side is less than Jesus. All right, so if it's sin, sickness, disease, whatever, or the devil himself, whatever else you want to put in there is less than Jesus. Any problem that you ever face, financial problem, situations, marriage problem, things going on in your life, anything that you put in the other side is always less than Jesus. That means Jesus is greater than any problem or anything or any circumstance that you'll ever face. Which is pretty awesome, because you have something that's more powerful than anything that you'll ever go through in your entire life. The problem is when you go through stuff, you don't think about these kind of things. Because, we're all human. Everyone here human? Anyone here not human? A few people didn't raise their hand. we're all human. We all make mistakes. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But something that we do, I do it, you all do, I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care if you've been in church ever since you were alive. When we start facing situations and circumstances, even things that we've got through in the past, but when everything's coming in on us, we forget about who's greater than our situations. Because, you know, we can't see the forest for the trees. We can't see God for everything that's coming upon us. You know, and that's one thing that is really good one thing that we need to do, first of all, is not cloud our mind with all the bad stuff. In fact, sometimes, I mean, you know, I've always, you know, been a big fan of social media, and that's actually, you know, one of the biggest, best ways of advertising, you know, now, you know, but I use social media for stuff like showing people what I ate for lunch, you know, taking selfies of myself some, you know, place or whatever. But man, everyone has all these opinions and they're all talking about this problem and that problem. And, you know, when you look through your feed, I'm thinking, man, I'm tired of everyone's problems. Now, me, I have a lot of friends who are race car drivers. I want to know how they finish in their race. I don't want to know about all their problems. I mean, not just, but, you know, sometimes, you know, it's one thing to say, tell about their problem, but, you know, the people with the most problems aren't talking about their own problems. They're talking about all the other problems. You know, and it becomes problematic. And, you know, and half the time, you know, I could preach them a sermon, but it really won't help. The people just get mad about it anyway. But the fact of the matter is we get full of problems. And we forget that we have the answer in Jesus Christ. And the answer really happened for us on that day on Calvary. That's when everything, you know, yes, Jesus had to come, but, you know, ultimately, whenever he said the words, "It is finished," is that was the ultimate thing that he had to do, was to die upon the cross. And that's what communion is celebrating what Jesus did. But what Jesus did, he also gave us a legacy in his name. And we can use his name to overcome our issues, our problems, our circumstances. You know, but the bad thing about it is when you tell people that they can do that, then people get mad at you too, because it can't be that easy. How can it be that easy? But what you have is you have something, because, you know, it's interesting how whenever we become born again, we say that we ask Jesus to come into our heart, right? That's what we say. Now, then people ask, well, is Jesus in heaven? Because it says he's on the right hand side of the Father, or is he in your heart? You know, but, well, we have the Spirit of Christ in our heart. But you know what? Just because we have Christ in our heart does not make Christ in our hands. Doesn't make Christ in our feet. I know some of you sing the song, "I got it in my hands, I got it in my feet," and you're singing, but that wasn't Christ. All right. You had Christ in your heart. Now, this is actually the very first sermon my grandfather ever preached. Everyone knows it, right? Head faith versus heart faith. That was the first sermon he ever preached in his entire life. The problem is it gets in our heart but doesn't get in our head. How's it get in our head? We have to get the mind of Christ. We have to let our Christ, you know, we have to start thinking like Christ thinks. But when everything's coming at you like, you know, bombs, it's hard to think like that. Your head's not clear. And so really is one thing that we could do is we start going through issues, through problems. Think about Calvary. Think about the cross. And so maybe if you have a cross somewhere if Jesus is on your cross or not on your cross, you know, I prefer him not to be on the cross, but it doesn't matter. Look at the cross and think about, you know what? There went my problems. That cross cured my problems. And it wasn't because of the cross, it was because of what happened on the cross. You know, but you know what? It was because of Jesus. But Jesus has given his name to declare over our situations, our problems, our circumstances, because it's the greatest name in the world. There isn't a name that's greater. I know your name might be pretty good too, but your name is not going to be above all these things. And in fact, you might not be, you know, number one on the 2015's list of most popular names. You know, but maybe your name was back in 1938, most popular name. But it's not now. Do you realize, even if your mom named you the most popular name that year, and when you went to school, you had 8 other kids in the same grade named the same thing, you know, it doesn't mean that your name is popular now. And you know what? Even if your name is popular, it's still not greater than cancer. It's still not greater than problems. But Jesus' name is always greater. It's always the most popular. You know, it's always the greatest name. You know, and I don't care if your name is Jesus. It's still not as great as Jesus. All right? Jesus is the name above all names. And it's not because of, you know, some guy named that name, but because, you know, you can be named Adam or Eve or John or, you know, or Judas. And it doesn't mean anything. So, actually, I heard another funny thing. I don't know if it's funny or not, but on TV last night. And you know, I didn't grow up Catholic, so I don't really know much. But they were talking about, St. Jude. I've heard of the St. Jude Foundation or whatever. Well, his name wasn't Jude. It was actually Judas. But, you know, in the Catholicism, they believe in praying to some of the saints, and because of Judas Iscariot, you're praying to St. Judas, you know, might get the wrong Judas spirit on you, so they change his name to St. Jude. That's according to what I saw on TV. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's funny. All right, so, you know, it's one of those things that you wish you knew. So, see, if you wouldn't have came to church tonight, you would have never known that. But every time you see one of his cancer commercials and they're talking about the St. Jude Foundation, you're going to think about me and the story that I just told you. See, interesting facts. You know, I like to know facts about things. That's why I'm a Googleologist. I Google more than anybody else known to man. And I get more information. I love information. I love learning about stuff because, you know, I believe if we quit learning, then we're going to just get dumb. I mean, you know, it's interesting because some people, you know, I'm not a know-it-all. I don't know everything yet, so if I don't know it, I should need to learn it. And I like to learn about situations, and I like to learn about stuff. You know, and I don't just take it because someone tells me it's true, that it's really true. So maybe it's not true. So you can Google that yourself. I didn't Google it, by the way. So I don't know, but that's what the guy said on TV. So I thought it was pretty interesting. It had nothing to do with my sermon, but pretty interesting. All right, so it says he's given a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So it says at the name of Jesus, everything has to come in line. And we've been given the power in that name. You know, and if you don't have time to say a long prayer, just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. And my dad has a story where when he was in the Army and they were on motorcycles, and he lost control on a gravel road and was headed toward a 1,000-foot cliff. And he didn't have time to pray for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't have time to fast and do anything else. All he had time was to say Jesus. Jesus. And all of a sudden, as they were sliding over the edge, somehow because he was sliding sideways, was kind of sliding backwards, but the tire got grip and it slung him across the road. And, you know, and everyone said, well, you got lucky. But my dad says, I didn't get lucky. And, you know, it's the power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And we have that power. And that power is greater than anything else that we will ever face. So whatever problem we're going through is really a no match for Jesus. You know, it's greater than anything. Now, the reason that we get upset is because our problem doesn't get solved in 38 seconds like Ronda Rousey did in the fight last night or whatever. Some of you don't know who that is, but anyway. She had a fight that lasted 38 seconds. And see, what happens is that whenever we say something, we want it to happen immediately because it should. But a lot of times, you know, I've known people that have taken years to get their situation as bad as it is now. Do you understand? The situation was bad, but they quit. You know, a lot of times when we're going through stuff, we just let it go. We don't even try to do anything. Pretty soon, because sometimes, you know, we think if we ignore it, it's going to go away. You know, we hide it over here, and it'll go away. But then all of a sudden that problem gets to it started to be a small problem, but now it gets to be a huge problem. And then we want it to go in 2 seconds. You know, but the thing about it is that's something else, is we need to take authority over our problems as soon as we have the problem. I know situations where people, you know that based upon our financial situation, you know, coming up at the end of the month, there's going to be an issue because you spend a lot of money the first of the month, but they wait until the end of the month before they ever do anything about it. You know, you should start, you know, claiming that you have enough, you know, by that time. You know, get your faith going early. Don't wait till the end. I know people that start believing God for, you know, for their house payment, for their rent money or whatever, the day it's due. You know, but most of the time that you know that, you know, when your car just broke or let's just say, because this happened to one of my friends the other day, their air condition went out. All right. They had a choice. They could sweat to death or they could actually get it fixed. They chose to get it fixed. Well, because they chose to get it fixed, they know that, you know, that, you know, financially there's some issues it's going to cause going down the line. You know, and so because of that, then they've had to put their faith out toward the future. So when something like that happens, you know, you don't just say, well, oh, shucks, I don't know what I'm going to do, and wait till the bill's due, and then believe God, and start believing God. You know what? So we had a setback here, but praise God that our God is big enough. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. A lot of times, whenever there are situations and circumstances going on in my life, I'm like, you know what? Jesus didn't die on the cross so that I'm going to have to suffer like this. Right. You know, and sometimes I think about it in my situation, you know, self, is that why should he should, you know, we think it's no big deal for him to suffer, but it was a big deal. I mean, he told the Lord, if there be any other way, if you can come up with a last minute solution, let's do that, God. Do you remember that in the Bible? He says, if there's any other way to let this cup pass from me, let's do it. But, you know, the Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And, you know, so we have to, that was the only way. But he suffered for us. And so if we're suffering, if we're going through, I mean, you know, here's the deal. In the world today, the world that we live in, depression is an all-time high, even among Christians. All right? And that makes me depressed. Not really, but, you know, you think about it, and I understand, I'm not laughing about depression, because we've all been there, you know, and I should say it like this. This is how my grandfather always says it. I've been in situations where I had an opportunity to be depressed. Now, hey, I've never heard him say that word, but you know, if that's your situation, when you go through a situation, everything is going bad in your mind, you know, it starts hitting your mind that I should be depressed. You know, that's when you have to remember the cross. That's when you have to remember what Jesus did. Because Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to be depressed. All right? He died on the cross for you to live life and to have it more abundantly. Amen. Now, the reason that we're going through depression and we're going through worry because we don't realize that we have Jesus, the answer that's above worry, depression, bad things. You know, see, what happens is we don't realize what we have. We don't realize what we have. And once again, you know, he's on the inside of our heart. So really, we have the answer on the inside of you. You know, technically, if you want to think about this, you're the answer to every problem you have. You just got to get it out of your heart and into your head. The answer lies on the inside of you. The answer. And we all know the song, listen, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above them, there's no other. Jesus is the way. The answer to every problem that you face or that you'll ever face is on the inside of you. Plus, you also have the greatest love. Whitney Houston told us that back in the 80s, the greatest love of all is inside of you. And it's true. You know, we have everything that we need is on the inside of us. But, you know, the problem is we've got to get it to our head. And in order to get it to our head, we have to get other things out of our head. Now, the devil is going to try to knock you over the head with all kinds of situations and circumstances. And one of the scriptures I like to read is it says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Anyone ever read that over in Isaiah? Now, does it say that I'll never have something formed against me? No. It says no weapon formed against me shall prosper. What happens is when we get weapons that are formed against us, things, situations, possible lawsuits, whatever it might be, maybe a fight with your girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, internet dispute, you know, on Facebook or whatever it is, you know, because sometimes you put people, I've done this before, I put a picture, you know, me and my wife hated the picture, and we had a fight over it. Well, not really, wants a fight because it took my picture, but you know how many people saw that picture? You know, because I can eat dinner and 100 people like my photo. So people you know, saw the photo. In fact, we were laughing because I tried this periscoping thing a couple of weeks ago on our way to Kansas City, and I had 100 people watching me drive. Actually, watching Jesse drive. He was driving. We were going to Kansas City, and I'm just filming driving. 100 people tuned in to watch. I'm like, actually, I'm making fun of them while they're watching me. I said, are you guys idiots? Don't you have anything else to do but to watch us drive? I'm bored. That's why I'm filming. You know, but the fact of the matter is that, now, it was good because while he was watching us drive and there was a rainstorm coming, some guy goes, hey, you guys are coming to Kansas City. There's tornadoes close to Kansas City. I'm like, really? And so, you know, while I'm filming, I had to go to my other device here and try to get, you know, because I don't want to miss any. So now we became tornado watchers. Storm chasers. Now the issue, you know, but it is kind of scary. And you know, if there's a storm in Oklahoma City, and it does happen every once in a while, obviously. You know, now I don't, you know, I know Oklahoma City and Tulsa. When there's a storm, I can go to the website of the channel, and the weatherman's always on. So I actually had someone on the Periscope that gave me the website of a local channel. I go there, and nobody's on. So there's tornado warnings that I can click and look at them and things like that, but no one's telling me, you know, to seek cover and to go here and to go there. Now, here's something else. You know, you're here in Oklahoma City area, and I know Oklahoma City area pretty well, and if they tell me where a tornado is, I'm not going to go that area. The problem is I don't even know where the tornadoes are or not are because I don't even know, you know, and I don't have even, a, you know, the map didn't actually show me this, told me there's a red warning all the way around this, you know, this thing. And it was, you know, it was a watch, but turned into a warning. They actually spotted 3 tornadoes. So we just believed God that they weren't going to hit us, you know, anything else. But all of a sudden, next thing you know, we're on a highway in traffic, and we can hear the sirens going off, and our phones are going off. And now the tornado itself that was really, I don't think even was an F1, so I don't know if you guys have even classified a tornado around here. But it was it did a couple of damage to some trees and things like that. Didn't do any, but it was actually north. And where we were, it was about a 30-minute drive to get to that place, north of the city. We were south of the city. You know, but it kind of was interesting. And 100 people watched us live on Periscope. I don't know what that has to do with the cross, but anyway, that'll help you maybe. But you know, I can have lots of friends. I can do all that kind of stuff, but that's not going to solve my problems. Only Jesus can solve my problems. Amen. But I have to understand that I have to get it out on the inside and be able to think like Christ thinks. And the way I do is through reading the scripture and finding out, you know what, when I'm facing an issue, let me think about Jesus and not my problem. If I'm thinking about my problem, dwelling on my problem, all I think about is the problem. And like I said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I understand ahead of time that many times weapons will form against me, but they don't have to prosper. You know, and that's one thing too. When I begin to learn that I'm going to have weapons formed against me regardless, then I don't get all upset about a weapon formed against me. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, all right? People are going to talk about you. People are going to, you know, things are going to happen. But when weapons are formed against you, then you have to claim the word. It's not going to prosper. But what happens, a lot of times people get things formed against them, then they start to cry and get depressed and get worried. What, you know, in the interesting part, has anybody been worried here before? Anyone? All five people, okay, more people raise their hand. Every time people get worried and concerned, here's what they always say. What am I going to do? Anyone ever said that? What are you going to do? Well, you know, the funny part about it is, you know, a couple years ago, we had back in, I guess it was the 90s, we had bracelets and mugs and whatever. It said, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, maybe you should do what Jesus would do. You know, I don't even know really why you were thinking, what am I going to do? Because what are you going to do? Because a lot of times whenever I'm faced with that situation, what am I going to do? I find out I really have no power in my own self. Yeah. I can Google it, but it ain't going to help me. I can cry about it, but it's not going to help me. I can get depressed and stay in my room and eat all the Twinkies I want to, but it's not going to help me. Might taste good for a while, but I can lose sleep over it, but it's not going to help me. You know, but the only thing that's going to help me is to think about how good my Christ is and, you know, turn that over to him. The Bible says to cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what? God cares for you enough that he wants to take away your problems. But he can't take away your problems if you don't let him. If you're trying to control the boat, he can't control your boat. Now, you know, whoever has the remote control is the one in charge. You know, that's why a lot of times when you're watching TV, maybe if you're still living home, your mom is, but my wife says, give me the remote. I'm like, no. I want to control the TV. We're going to watch, I mean, you know, I'm watching the same thing you're watching. Yeah, but when the commercial comes, you flip the channels and you don't always get it back in time. It's not my fault. But see, you know, I can't help it that, you know, the commercial was shorter than what I anticipated, you know. So anyway, so sometimes, anyone else have that problem, you know, your wife or your husband, whoever, you know, wants to control the remote instead of you? And so, now there are some times, you know, here's the interesting part. My wife has asked for the remote, and then later on said, hey, turn that down. I said, I don't have the remote. It's over there somewhere by you. Well, no, you had the remote. No, I had the remote. I gave it to you, put you in control, and see, you lose the remote. That's why I keep it, because I'm not going to lose it. Because I'm always messing with it, so I'm not going to lose something you're messing with. So, interesting part about it is. But the thing is that when it comes to problems, you need to lose control and let God take over. I mean, you just need to let go of your situation. And the way you let go is forget about it and say, you know what, I'm turning that over to you. Now, don't ignore it. Ignore is not going to let it go, all right? You got to turn it over to God. You know, it's this simple. God, I'm going through this situation. It's tough, and I don't really know the answer, but I know you do. So I need you to take care of this. You know, I know that's not the most prolific prayer in history of all mankind, but it works. Amen. That's how I pray. I pray like I talk. Like I said, this whole message is really a result of my own thought about the power of the cross. You know, the power is in the name. Amen. It's all about the name of Jesus. And you have the power to name the name. It's all about the name. I want to look at one more scripture before we take communion tonight. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verses 13 and 14, John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, it says, and whatever, now notice the whatever. What does whatever mean? Whatever. Whatever, you know, it means whatever it is. Now, whatever is saying whatever. And I take the whatever word at the word, whatever. Because I've heard some people say, you know what? You cannot believe God for that. And my question is, well, why? Because it's a whatever. It's a whatever. Now, you know the reason that some people can't believe God for that? Because they don't think they can. Because someone told them they couldn't. It says whatever you ask or whatever I ask, right? So it's whatever I want, not what you want. It's not about your faith. It's about my faith, about me. You know, Jesus is saying, whatever you. Well, whatever, that can be anything. I mean, it's if you need peace, if you need whatever you need. You know, actually, we have scripture, later on in James, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. And he's going to give it to you liberally. It means a lot of it. You know, but people say, well, I guess I can ask for wisdom. But you can ask for whatever. It's kind of like, some people take scriptures and they kind of make they take one scripture and they build the whole doctrine on it. Now, there is a scripture, we've all read it, that God loves a cheerful giver. Anybody ever read that? And he does. But the Bible also says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, so God loves you whether you are cheerfully giver or not. So, in all reality, if I want to have the cheerful giver doctrine, which he loves the cheerful giver, but, he loves you in spite of your giving. So, anyway, never thought about that, right? But it says, whatever you ask, you determine what you ask. Nobody else determines what you can ask. You can ask whatever you want to ask. But it says, whatever it is, you ask it in my name. That I will do. If you ask anything, so whatever you ask in his name, he's going to do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. The next verse says, if you ask anything. Well, that's a whatever. It's anything. You ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus really repeated himself. Basically, he's saying, just ask, please. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to, I'll do it. If you ask anything in my name, I'm still going to do it. So please ask. That's why whenever we're praying, when we end our prayers, in the name of Jesus we pray. Because the power is in the name. We ask in the name. And whatever we ask in that name, he says that he will do it, he shall do it. So here's what I don't understand. And, I've done it. We've all done it. When we ask in the name of Jesus, then why are we upset because it hasn't happened yet? Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? So you're doubting whether it's going to happen. So you're calling Jesus a liar. Do you realize that? If you ask in the name of Jesus, then all you got to do is believe. Put faith in him that he will do it for you. All we have to do is ask. And it's all because of the cross. It's all because what he did upon the cross. Because he gave us his name to use in whatever situation we're going through. That's why Jesus came. John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But that really came as a, I understand he said it in John 10:10, but really it came to fruition on the cross that day. That's whenever, whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, he's going to give us, and not just give it to us, he give us abundantly. He didn't come that we have a lousy life. Now, a lot of older Christians didn't get a hold of that fact. They're just glad enough that one day, one fine day, someday, soon and very soon, the roll is going to be called up yonder and they're going to be there. They were just happy enough that one day they were going to go to heaven. And in heaven, there were streets of gold and all that kind of stuff. So they might be in major poverty here, but one day they're going to have riches in heaven. But they don't understand the riches is in the name of Jesus. We have the power. We have the authority. We have the power, we have the authority, but we have to use it. We have to use it. And most Christians don't use what they have. And I know some Christians that use what they have in one area, but they don't use it in another area. They might believe God whenever they're sick. They might believe, I found that most Christians will believe God when they're sick in their body or when they need a financial blessing. That's the only time, two times. You know, when there's no joy, they're not thanking God. And you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength, but you have to have joy in the Lord to be strong. You know, they don't even think about this when it comes to depression, when it comes to feeling bad, whatever. Well, or when it comes to you know, there's some kind of funk or whatever. They think they're going through a phase. You know, it's no phase. Who decided you're going through a phase? Well, some kind of psychologist said I'm just going through a phase in my life. Well, I didn't read that in my Bible. It doesn't say, thus saith the Lord, there'll be phases that you'll go through. And in those phases, sometimes things won't be good, but that's okay. It's only a phase. Soon and very soon, the roll's going to be called up yonder. No, you know what? The thing about it is, a lot of times we're copping out because if somebody said something, or you read it on the internet, or whatever. You know what? I don't care who said whatever, because it's whatever you say, whatever you ask. All you got to do is ask. That's why you know, we say, you have not because you ask not. So sometimes people say, well, God knows I'm sick. Yep. Well, God knows I'm not doing good. Yep. What are you going to do about it? Oh, I don't know. I'm waiting for God. Well, God's waiting on you. Right. You know, I know some people said they're waiting on the Lord. Well, quit waiting. You know, because it says in the name of Jesus. It says, the scripture really says that we have to ask. We have to ask. You know, going back to the keynote scripture of our ministry, it talks about speaking. You know, which tells me that just because something happened on Calvary, yes, you know, that became a reality in our life. But you know what? When Jesus died on the cross, it didn't save me. Nobody got saved. How do we get saved? We have to speak. We have to ask. So the same way you get saved and the same way you get healed and the same way you invoke any kind of blessing that was given to you on Calvary. By your mouth, by what you believe. See, whenever we were born again, we said it with our mouth and we believed in our heart that Jesus was our Lord and Savior. Anyone remember that? All right? So that's the same thing we do with our healing, same thing we do with our depression, same thing we do with everything. We just speak the word and we believe what we say. You know, there's a lot of people that are speaking the word, but they're not speaking the word that they believe. They're speaking the word that somebody told them because it's some kind of formula that they read in a book. You know, 99 ways to get your blessing from God. You know, and usually it's interesting. One of those 99 ways is always, there's always giving in there. They always mix giving in there. And nothing wrong. There is giving and receiving. That is something that we can do. But the thing is, it says whatever we ask, that he's going to do it for us. It didn't say whatever we ask when we're fasting and praying. It didn't say whatever we ask if we're given enough money. But you know what? I know my wife told me one time in a situation that she needed an instant miracle and it didn't happen. And so she said, well, you know what? She told the Lord she said, well, I've never believed God for a hot dog, so I can't believe God for this situation. You know, and that was her own mind and it was a situation where she had a baby before we were married. She had her and her first husband had a baby and only lived to be 10 days old because it had type B strep. And so she really gave it over to the Lord because she said, I never believed God for a hot dog. How can I believe God for my child to live and not die? She grew up in church. Her mom was an evangelist, but she didn't have a hold of it for herself. It's a sad situation because the Bible says whatever you ask. It doesn't say how hard it might be. You know what? It's no harder to ask God for $1 million than it is to ask God to heal you from your cold. The fact of the matter is you have to believe he can do it for you. And I'm gonna, you know, my grandpa always said, some of you don't need $1 million. What are you going to do with it anyway? In fact, I do know this. I know about a pastor, and he told me that he was, you know, preaching a lot of prosperity situations at his church, and said every person that, you know, not only the way he preached it, he was not just preaching, you know, believe God. He was also preaching to work hard, you know, and to put, you know, put things into practice. And he said every person that got a hold of it, and God blessed them, they all left my church. Because when the money got a hold of them, and they ended up leaving the church, and their life became a mess. You know, and it's interesting, the fact of the matter is, a lot of times we can't handle those kind of things. But the fact of the matter is, you whatever you need, you can believe God for it, and it'll happen. It'll happen. It's all because of the name of Jesus. Amen. And it is because of the cross, and it is because of the blood, but it's, you know, the cross and the blood gave us the authority to use the name. Amen. And the main thing is, you have all authority over everything. So I said all this to say, if you're going through anything, any situation, remember the name of Jesus is greater than whatever you're going through. And please remember that when you're going through your problem. Don't remember it when you don't need the answer. Remember it when you do. And that's one reason why we need to stay built up. And I believe the best time to study about faith is whenever you don't need to use your faith. If you're not sick, study about faith all you can. Because that way, when sickness comes, and it will come, because the thief will try to put that on you. But no weapon formed against you has to prosper if you do not let it. But if you don't do anything, the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. But if you don't resist the devil, he's going to keep pounding. Yeah. You know, and I found out what happens is finally we get pounded enough and we decide, you know what, I guess I'm going to resist the devil now. I'm at the lowest point ever. You know, you don't have to lose everything before you believe God. But unfortunately, a lot of times we put ourselves in that situation. But all we got to do is remember the name. It's all because of the cross. It's all because of the blood that we have the name. So you know what? Every time you see a cross, think about the name. Think about Jesus. Think about what he did. And you know, and if you're going through, think about it. You know, Jesus didn't die on the cross for me to have to be going through this. He died on the cross for me, for him to be able to take care of my situation. So let him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And Father God, we just thank you for this little short message tonight. We thank you that they'll take a hold of this message. And every time they're facing a situation, a circumstance, that they'll be able to remember that it is the name of Jesus that's greater than that situation, that circumstance, or whatever. And we just thank you for it now. Father God, we do thank you right now. If anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without coming to the saving knowledge of him. So if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to become Lord and Savior of your life, and we've talked about that a few times tonight, but maybe you've never done that. You've never asked him to come in. You've never asked him to become your Savior and your Lord. Tonight's your night, you can do that. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, man, I walked with God. I knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I've kind of turned my back. I've started done my own thing. I've been living life my own way instead of God's way. And tonight I want to come home. I want to make him Lord and Savior of my life again. If that's you, if you want to rededicate your life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you said, Craig, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I know I'm saved. But you guys talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that is. You know, it's extra endowment of power from on high. Or maybe you've been afraid of that because you've heard things about tongues or whatever, and you're afraid of that. But if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you have that. You don't have to have that to go to heaven, but it's so much easier to live here on the earth being filled with the Spirit of God. Any of you that want that, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that's not saved, that doesn't know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord. Father, we thank you for sending laborers across their path. We thank you, Father, for that they won't have any kind of peace whatsoever until they come to the saving knowledge of Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.